G'day and thanks for joining us at Once When I Was Cool, a podcast about better days and earlier times, done in a mediocre fashion by some mediocre kind of guys. My name's Dave and joining me is Wee. How are you, Wee?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Dave. And mediocre we are. Mediocre in every aspect.
Except girth. My girth is rotund. Well,
mine is too, and I'm fashionably going grey in my beard and in my hair. I keep getting that pointed out at work. And
boo-hoo.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
How did you forget it staring you straight in the face?
I know. I think you're almost back to having to just run the hair through the just behind your ears now.
I'm slowly turning into Homer Simpson.
Yeah, except you've only got two strands instead of three.
And I don't have the 5 o'clock shadow. I can't grow a little beard that well.
You should try it. I want to see what that looks like. Then do a comb over straight up the middle.
Yeah. Parted. Look like Sinatra. Yeah. Be awesome.
Yeah. So what are we up to today?
Well, I've been getting lots of phone calls lately, and I just sort of got to thinking, and I'm getting a lot of unwanted phone calls from some overseas numbers, which tell me that the people who I speak to tell me that they're in my country, but I can tell that they're not, and there's a lot of noise in the background. So it made me sort of think about once when I was cool, we used to have scams, and scams were certainly a different type of scam, and it goes to lots of different ways of doing it, and lots of different activities that people used to try and get your money.
Back in the day, scams were personal. A lot of scams were face to face. It was, someone coming around say they'd paint your roof, and I just need to get $600 off you to go down and collect the paint, and you'd go, oh gee, I need a new paint job on my roof, and away you go. You'd give them $600. Next minute, you still got the same roof and less $600.
I've never heard of that.
Haven't it?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, no, it used to happen. Maybe it was more, it used to happen a lot. And that was, like I'm saying, the face-to-face type scams. Well, or, they'd come around and say, they'd always want money for whatever, whether it was building stuff and, doing some handyman stuff, and they'd get the money for it because they'd have to pay for the parts because they didn't have the money for it. You give them the cash to go and do it.
Yep.
And which is usually 50% of what you were paying them. I mean, if you're paying them $2,000, you give them $1,000 and away they go.
I guess it goes back to those days when cash was the king. And so if you paid things in cash, they'd always knock a few, a percentage off for you so that they didn't have to declare it on their tax, and that you could get away with it a little bit cheaper. But I guess probably the similar one I've heard to that is, and never really proven it, but you used to always talk to people who, when they went and got their car serviced, or when they go and get repairs on their car, they'd go and put a little mark on like the oil filter or on another part that the mechanic said that they were changing out, and they'd come back and it'd be exactly the same thing there. So they've charged you for it but not actually done anything with it.
And true, and to the extent of them saying you need a whole range of things when you clearly don't. You need to put an air freshener through your air conditioning,
The old pollen filter.
Yeah, the old good old pollen filter. You know what I mean? So there's things like that. You need to have your brakes done. When we got in there, your brake lines and
your blinker fluid.
Yeah, and there's things they used to do where they'd put a rag in, they'd remove a pipe, put a rag in it. So they, when you come back, they go, look, I don't know what's going on. We can't get your car started. We're going to need this part, that part, and the other part. They don't order it in. They charge you, take the rag out, and away you go. And, there was just some simple tricks like that where they used to do it, even in the exhaust.
Well, they
build up pressure and stuff.
Some of that gotcha sort of journalism where they, they'll send somebody in with a hidden camera type thing and record what's going on. It was a bit of that, the high quality journalism. But, you see some of them where they'd send the woman in to go to a mechanic, and the woman would go in and ask for something, and they'd give them this big long list of things and say it was a certain price. And then they'd send a guy in with the same sort of car, exactly the same car, and they'd go and have a look at it and say, oh, no, it's not that, it's this. And, you know, so they'd scam the woman thinking that they didn't know anything about the car. And I was always really surprised at that. I always thought it was a bit of a fallacy that people seem to think that, you know, men take advantage of women. And I've, you know, working in a predominantly female dominated profession, I have never seen that sort of side of things that people think that women are so gullible, but it seems to be an ongoing thing.
And I think, and I agree, because, you know, we both work in that female dominated area. It's, but you hear them talking about, I hear them sometimes, you know, talking about things when they have to get, say, a plumber or something along those lines. And, you know, a lot of the time they go to my lovely administration officer. She would always say to me, I've been to her mechanic and they want to do X, Y, and Z, and it's going to cost them, going to cost her pretty much heaven and earth. And I've put her on to my mechanic, and it's not all mechanics, so please, I'm not having a crack at any mechanics, but I put her on to my mechanic and he was like, no, you don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need that. And I love how they say you always have to have genuine parts, even when it's out of warranty, or you lose your warranty if you don't go to them. For their actual servicing.
I think that used to be the case way back when the secondhand parts weren't as good and they were almost as expensive. But these days, I think the quality of them is just as good as anything. And let's face it, the genuine quality is not made to last that much anymore anyway.
As you know, we live in a disposable world. You know, I cracked out my old car the other day and got it started after 6 years of not running. And I have to get a new fuel pump, and you know, looking online, it's still an old mechanical one, works off the engine, but most stuff's around on YouTube is around electric fuel pumps and things like that. But I spoke to my mechanic today, just gave him a phone call and just picked his brains for a couple of minutes, and you know, away I go.
But a good mechanic's like a good GP. Once you find one, you stick with them because they're hard to replace.
Oh, absolutely, mate. He's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. I refer everyone I can to him because he's just amazing. You know, good little family business. I enjoy, enjoy going to him and chatting to him. But yeah, great. The other scams that you used to find they used to be, as I was saying earlier about the people that had come, they just door knock and they'd go up a street. So, you know, if you've got a couple of people that needed their houses roofs painted, they might do one, and then they do one, and then when they go to the others up the street because they've seen it, you know, we've painted that house down the street, looks great, they just take the money and run.
Yeah. Well, I guess probably a similar thing, and one of the more recent things where that's been an example was during the what was it, probably 10, 12 years ago, where they were looking at doing the home insulation as a way of saving energy. And you get all these people sprung up overnight that were doing all the home insulation because people were getting bonuses to get it done, and there were bonuses for business. And there were plenty of stories where people would turn up with, you know, five or six packets of the big bats, and somebody would watch and see them going in, and then they'd go in and there would either be just like six packets of bats just sitting up there, never been open and not nearly enough to cover the whole roof, and they'd say they're done, or they'd just do enough so that if you poked your head in through the manhole, you would see the bats as far as you could, and that was it. There was a lot of stories of scams going on through that.
Yeah, and a lot of that came to an abrupt end because obviously
people died.
Yeah, people died who were installing it, who weren't actually trained installers, getting electrocuted because there's wires and they were moving wires and touching,
but they're
wires.
Also using some form of aluminium backed bats or something like that, the low profile stuff that they were trying to put in, and it shorted out, and they were hitting things like that, and you know, and I think they were
very young
guys, only doing it for a bit of extra cash, but people who were completely unqualified and unprepared to take the liability for it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's always ways of people finding their ways around scams. You know, if you look at even in, say, the NDIS in Australia, which is the National Disability Scheme, you know, they've actually got organised crime people that try and build businesses off the side. And, you know, that's big money here in Australia. And you know, they're pulling in millions of dollars just off the back of, and there's scams. Same with floods.
Oh, yeah.
People say, oh, this is my address down here, or yep, I live in this area where there's flood damage. Lots of people, there's just people out there that scam all the time.
Well, I guess the other thing is the door knockers, the people coming around to collect money for, and this sort of still goes on in this day, and I don't know how it does because nobody ever seems to have cash anymore. But the door knockers, especially after a natural disaster, that would come around with the buckets and say, I'm collecting for this foundation to be able to, you know, support something. And you know, they end up getting caught just pocketing the money that they've collected out of, you know, people donating charitably.
Yep. And the thing is, you're dealing with humans, aren't you? And, you know, we're probably the only species on the planet that take advantage of each other. I'm sure there's other animals out there, and I'm not a zoologist by any means. But we always seem to, you know, we prey, sure, I suppose, we prey on a weak, I suppose. And that's, I suppose, the big thing these days is scam, that, you know, people try and scam the elderly with their computers and phones and all of that.
But before we go on to that, just to the cash economy, you used to always see these things that were for sale. I think we've talked about it in the past, either in the comics or the magazines, where you'd see a little thing, X-ray specs or sea monkeys or any of these sorts of things that you used to see. And
sea monkeys wearing X-ray specs.
That's exactly right. They were the ones to look out for. Mm. But you would, you know, quite often you'd put, you know, a couple of dollars into an envelope and post it off, never to see it again.
Yeah.
And back with the cash economy and the old snail mail.
Yeah, but it's like anything. I know that, and I'm sure, I suppose I'm a cynic and I think everyone's rotten. You know, how many things have you purchased online and something just doesn't turn up? And then when you contact them, they go, yeah, we sent it. So I think sometimes some of the people shake and go, oh, yeah, I'll keep that one.
Yeah, I think that happens as well. And there was always the rumor that in the postal sorting services, they had like a scanner that could detect them. Remember when bills had like a metallic strip through them, and you used to hold it up to the light to be able to see the metallic strip back when cash was more paper-based. And they reckon that they had scanners that they could go through, especially around Christmas time, where they'd be able to scan through and see whether there was the metal in it, and then they'd keep it and it'd never get there. And you hear stories of things disappearing. But I tell you, I've bought things from reputable sorts of places, and it's disappeared in the meantime. Yeah. I collect the cricket almanacs. I'm a cricket tragic, and so I like to have all these sorts of things. And I remember ordering one, and they're fairly bulky books. They're what, probably not six inches, they're probably about 4 inches thick, just little sort of books, and they go back to the 1860s, and I'm slowly working my way back. Anyway, I bought one once. I buy them from sort of all over the world, wherever they are, and I'd bought one from the UK. And it had taken a little bit longer than I thought to get here, but, you know, they blame it on everything they can these days to make sure that they don't, you know, it doesn't come through as well. And I finally got it, and I got the packaging it was in, but it was usually, the package is about 4 inches thick, but this package was flat. It was like a cardboard package, and it was the one it had been in, and it was just flat. And then so I picked it up, and it just had a letter inside from the Australia Post, who is our postal service in Australia, obviously. And it just said, unfortunately, your item has been lost in transit. Please provide us with receipts and we'll reimburse you. So the book itself didn't turn up, but the package did. And I went, well, someone's obviously picked it up, because it's not the sort of thing that would fall out. They're usually well secured. And somebody's obviously opened it and had a look, but I got this package back completely flat, the packaging. And so anyway, when I went through, I had to provide, I think it was 70 or 80 bucks or something like that for the books. It was one of the cheaper ones. And so I was pretty reluctant to sort of buy it. But anyway, when I'm talking to them, they said, did you have it insured? And I said, no. Well, I didn't think I should need it insured. So this was through the call center, and they were, you know, by and large, they were pretty helpful. They said, well, next time we suggest that you pay the little bit extra for registered mail so that you can track the package. I said, well, that wouldn't have helped me in this situation because the packaging arrived that would have had the tracking sticker on it. It was what was inside that I actually wanted, and it didn't arrive. So there's no point. It wouldn't have saved any problems with the tracking.
Yeah.
They didn't seem to understand the irony of that.
No, because it makes you wonder if they've just pulled it out and have got it sitting on. They've probably got a collection at the post office, the big central post office somewhere.
Mm. Yes. But I tell you, with one of the things, and a lot of people complain about PayPal, and, you know, some of it's fairly well deserved, but I've always found that any time I bought something with PayPal and it doesn't turn up, I just have to put in a claim, and you know they're usually pretty good. It takes about 60 days or something for it to look at it. But I've bought a couple of things off scam websites that I thought were, you know, clothing mainly, and you know the website just disappears, and then you send a complaint through PayPal, and they'll send you one email because the money doesn't go through until PayPal clears it, and then suddenly the website disappears. And you see the same, you see exactly the same thing as an ad on another, you know, with another www address. So,
yeah, and that's, and look, I've just bought something recently. I bought a watch that I had when I was 18. I came across one. It was a Swatch watch.
I was going to ask if it was a Swatch watch because we did an episode on that.
Yeah, so I've got the one I had when I was 18 years old. I found it. It was actually
the actual Italy. One.
Not the actual one, the actual brother of it. So same design.
Brother from the same mother. Yeah.
Yeah. It was in Italy. So, and I'm thinking, is this a, but I paid the money and it came. So I got it. No problem whatsoever.
Yeah. Were the numbers all in Italian though, and you couldn't read it?
No, it was absolutely, I have to say, it was absolutely amazing. It was, it's, you know, you can tell it's the paper that goes with it is, you know, that old looking yellow paper because it's been sitting wherever it was. But I also got a new iPad cover, and that was from in Victoria here in Australia. And I'm still waiting for it, and I bought it at the same time.
But that's not unusual. I've had stuff turn up from overseas that it can come from the US quicker than it can come from somewhere else in Australia.
Oh yeah, but you know how disappointing as a person in Australia, you're still buying it locally or in Australia, and it's just ridiculous. You're better off. I'm better off looking at eBay International rather than eBay Australia. Mm.
So I guess the reason this came about is as of late, and I never used to, you used to always get the phone call when we used to have home phone lines around 6:30, 7 o'clock at night.
Right, dinner time.
Just as you're sitting down at dinner time because they knew you were home. And it wasn't always scams. It was quite often charities and those types of things, but I'd never really gotten it because I always had an unlisted private number. So my phone number was never in the phone book. So we'd never really got a lot of them. But what I've gotten lately is, especially in the last probably 2 or 3 weeks, I've had quite a few phone calls, which I've never gotten before, from people telling me that I've had $800 taken off my credit card. They never use my name. They never ask my name. They just say, and I don't give my name. I don't answer it to say, hello, this is Dave or anything like that. And sometimes, depending on what I'm doing, I'll let it string along for a little bit longer and sort of see what it is and then ask them and sort of say, you know, does this ever actually work? And they usually swear at you in some way and then hang up. But it's interesting to see because they're so unconvincing. But, you know, I wonder if that's because I'm aware of it and how they seem to think that people will catch on to it because they're saying they're calling from somewhere within Australia and with not wanting to be judgmental or racist, they're obviously
with
not.
Look, I'm going to be straight up because I watch a lot of the scamming things on YouTube and there's a few people I like watching that actually destroy them, Pierogi being one, to have a look at him. But it's usually the call centers from India because they don't have and I love how they go, oh, hello, my name's David Smith in an Indian accent. And I'm going,
I've had one called really? James, one called James, one called Patrick, and today I think was David. So
excellent. And they hate it when you call them on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they do. They get quite upset with you. Anyway, my mother has a friend who's a similar age, and Ruby's, you know, sort of getting up there now, aren't you, Rubes? But anyway,
hey, Ruby.
One of her friends was telling her that they got a phone call with a similar sort of thing, and she let it run for a minute and then said to the person, "No, we're not interested, F off," and hung up. And her husband said to her, "Oh, you really shouldn't speak to a lot of people like that. You know, it's not nice." And she said, "Oh, what are they going to do?" Anyway, about 3 minutes later, her phone rings again and she answers it. And it's this same person ringing back saying, "F off, F off, F off, F off, F off, F off," and hung up. Just said it repeatedly and then just hung up because he was felt a little bit of grief that she was rude to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. And I love it when they want to talk to you about, and it's things like your Amazon account or some sort of account that you don't even have.
Yeah, so that's what happened today, the credit card with a bank I haven't been with since I was about 11.
Yeah, and that's go and it's great, and you just go, "Oh, really? Oh, what do I need to do? How do I fix this?" And you know, and like you said to me earlier, you know, you kept them on the line for about 5 minutes.
But I think that's a bad thing, because then you become a potential sucker where they seem to think because you've answered the phone now and then you're going to talk to them that we're going to get you eventually.
No, I think they'll just keep ringing you and they'll keep ringing you and probably just annoying you. I get them if I don't know the mobile number, and it's bad because sometimes it could be I've had if you're doing phone appointments with your GP, you got your GP ringing. You know, so there are numbers that, and because they've changed, used to have international calls, that anything that you see with an international number come up, you just, yeah. I just ignore it.
Cyprus or Baghdad or somewhere in Bolivia, I think is the weirdest one I've gotten.
Yeah. So I don't even, you know, they're even coming through New Zealand because I just go through different.
Well, it's when they arrive with the Australian phone number. That's the one that gets me, because the only reason I answer today is because I don't have a work phone, so I just use my own mobile and I hand my number out sparingly. But it came through as an Australian number, and I thought, oh, maybe it's one of the people that I'm waiting on to ring me back, and no, it wasn't.
No, they rang me and I gave them your number.
Well, it's usually what happens is
I've done that before.
When I know. Usually when you have them ring up, you answer the phone and there's like a 3 second pause while they're waiting for it, because they've obviously got it on speaker, and then once you answer, they've got to pick it up and stop the speaker call. So that's usually a bit of a tip off that's what's coming along.
Yeah. And it's that pause because it's that delay when, you know, and you know, they're in a call center somewhere. But what I like to do is with my wife, if, you know, they ring you about your insurance and things like that and your private health and things. So I usually go, look, I know nothing about it. I just act real dumb and just go, look, you're better off speaking to my wife. And I give him my wife's number so that she gets the phone call from them.
That's rough.
And then she'll usually ring me and have a crack at me.
Nice. There used to be a similar sort of thing where it wasn't so much a scam, but people trying to sell things that would come knocking on your door, and then they wouldn't leave until you gave them the details of another person. One of the common ones was home security back in the days when they used to come and do the wiring in the house and put your, you know, your burglar alarm and everything like that in, and all for the low price of $2,000 or some ridiculous amount back in those days. And then they wouldn't leave until you actually gave them somebody else's number. And then your friend would ring you up and say, "Oh, thanks for that. They weren't very, you know, much fun." And, you know, door-to-door salesmen wouldn't be much fun work anyway. But, man, these people were something else.
Yeah. And again, you know, that just goes back. A lot of that stuff doesn't happen now. However, you know, they are starting to do the door knocking stuff again, and they
my place. You've seen where my doorway is.
Oh, because yeah, well,
I have had some of the religious groups turn up a couple of times, and dogs are going off and all sorts of things, but they still turn up.
Yeah, fair enough. They're committed.
They are.
If you're going up your driveway, you've made the commitment. So
my driveway is 200 yards long, up a sort of relatively steep incline.
It'd be about 11% incline.
13,
so it doesn't Yeah, it doesn't sound much, but when you walk it,
when you're dragging the bin back up.
Yeah. Yeah, you just leave it down the front and drive the rubbish down. It's easy.
We do, yep.
Can't remember where I was going.
Door knocking, starting up again.
Oh, yeah. And it is, and it's starting up again. And when they're coming around, they're going, you know, oh, if you can give X amount on your credit card per month. I've had a different service like the Heart Foundation or whatever it was. For the vets, they've rung me, you know, RSL stuff.
Yeah.
I said to the guy, look, you know, it's not financially viable for me at this point in time. Happy if you give me a call in 6 months because things might have changed. That was me just being polite to say, go away. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And he kept pushing. He goes, well, what I've done is I've done a plan with someone this morning. I said, look, it's not a good time. And I understand these guys probably work on a commission of people that they get on. Yep. But I was trying to actually be nice to the guy and trying to push him back nicely because I'm sure there's people that just say to him where to go.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like cold calling in real estate, which Dirk has to do. You know, he says out of 100 people, 95 of them are telling him where to go.
Yep.
I said, you can have 101, I could tell you as well. But
yeah. But not about real estate,
just in general. However, you know, that's the thing. Everyone now, and look, like my wife says to me, why do you, because I talk to them sometimes and hear the spiel, and you know, she goes, why do you bother? I just go, why not? It's 5 minutes. I just end up coming up with some sort of excuses to let them down nicely because I'm sure the rest of the day beforehand or day they've been working, they've been abused, and you know that doesn't do anything for anyone's self-esteem.
So your dad, you tell a story about when your dad was alive and he bought the new Tirana wheels. Did you consider that a scam?
No, I just considered that just being the Sicilian ninja doing what he thinks he does best. He looked at it and thought, you know, just thought it was real. When you looked at the picture, there was no way that
he believed it. He enjoyed it.
He enjoyed it. He got kicked off. He got banned off eBay pretty quick from my mother. And so I used to have to buy stuff for him off eBay after.
Right.
That.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. There you go. But do you remember when eBay used to be the actual, you used to get on there and have to bid for things? It was actual auction site. There wasn't things for buy it now. And, I mean, how often, when was the last time you saw an auction on eBay?
Well, I usually have it as an auction or a buy it now. And most people don't want to wait because most people.
Maybe I don't have the tab click then because I haven't seen one for ages.
So when you look at it, you can do buy it now, auction, or you can actually do a, you know, watch this item type of thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I know you can do that, but I haven't seen an auction thing for ages.
You can put a bid on it, place a bid.
Yeah, there you go.
You can still place bids because otherwise it's just an online shopping.
Yeah, well, that's what it pretty well is. I've seen you can do the best offer and that get close to that. But I don't know. Do you remember, you know?
It used to be fun trying to click on there and outbid the other.
Oh, yeah. People would have things set and wait for the last 2 seconds and then swoop in and get your best offer.
Yeah.
Or you try and push the offer up so that they had to pay more and then you'd get jammed up when you actually bought something you didn't want for more money than you wanted to pay.
$100 for a set of...
tiny
car wheels.
Oh dear.
That's like they used to online, they used to talk about the male enhancement products. You know, pay X amount of dollars and you'll get a male enhancement product to make it twice the size.
Yeah.
And people, lots of dudes started just getting little magnifying
glass. Flying glass. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
They'd have to put it's, you know, two, they'd be spending, you know, $60 and then little $2 bloody magnifying glass had come in.
Yeah.
So one, they were actually selling what they said they were.
Yep. That's exactly right.
So it was, I don't know whether that was real or not, but you'd hear about those type of things.
Well, it's also like back to the olden days before even, everything else that went on was back where people would sell like the Brooklyn Bridge or sell some sort of famous landmark and they'd stand off onto the shoreline and say, this could be yours for this amount. And people would actually come along and buy it and think they'd owned either the bridge or the, you know, those sorts of things. And I think that's
My bridge.
It just sort of makes, you know, people obviously working on the gullibility of others, but you know, it's just to have the audacity to be able to do that. I don't think, you know, and I can pull a lot of outrageous sort of things, but I don't think I could do that.
And it goes back to things like even the pyramid schemes.
Yep.
You know, if you're looking at sort of schemes, it's pyramid schemes, and then you get someone coming around your house. Okay, what you need to do now, you need to go and get six people.
Yep.
So this six people would get that six people who'd be getting more seats. And so one person ends up getting 36 people working for them.
Well, that's like one of the chain letters. You used to get chain letters that come around, and a lot of the things would just say, send this on to 10 people or you'll get bad luck. And I remember I tried to do it once and I couldn't remember. I was only about 11 and I didn't know 10 people I could send it on to. But then you also had to write it out and it was a big, you know, it was at least a page long. And I went, I got to about 3 and I thought, I'm not doing this anymore. But there used to be the ones where if you put back when we had $2 notes, if you put a $2 note in here and send this to 10 people, you will then, by the time your name comes to the list and it'd have a list of all these people pay, you know, $2 to the top 3 people or something like that. And it would always come back that you get the money. I never heard of anyone actually getting the money.
Only the top 3.
Yeah, there you go.
Husband, wife, and child.
Otherwise, you'll have bad luck forever.
No. Hmm. No. And that's the thing. I suppose gullibility doesn't change in generations. There's always, the wage gender gap, all of that sort of stuff. When you talk about gullibility, all that sort of stuff, lots of different stuff these days.
What? You were just checking to see if I was listening, because you know,
I was.
You know that I'm sitting here sitting here now looking at eBay for things I can buy.
I just went straight off.
Straight off onto a tangent that you knew I was going to react to. Yeah, good on you. Well, on that note, have you got anything else you wanted to add?
No, look. No, not at all. Just everyone just needs to be careful. Your computer's never going to be broken. And if somebody rings up and asks you to give them your details, they're ringing you. I've said to them before, you've got my details apparently. You're ringing me.
Yeah.
I'm not providing you anything.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Let us know if you've got any stories you'd like to tell or any issues or anything that you'd have, any scams that we've missed, anything you'd like to hear us talk about. We can talk about anything.
I'd tell you the one scam we didn't just cover briefly was, you know, the one where you've won $2 million and you just need to send me X amount of dollars.
But so that I can free it up. The Nigerian prince scheme.
The Nigerian prince scheme.
Yeah. So, yeah. Playing on the lonely hearts of people. Yeah.
Yeah. And you see them on.
And the greed.
The current affair. You still see them these days. They go, you know, so gullible. And people, I feel sorry for them because.
But you hear the saying as well that you can't con an honest man. So, it comes down to it. But I don't know if that's sort of, you know, I think a lot of people have been conned unfairly by, let's face it, filthy predators, really.
Yeah. Cool. And that's where they are. They've come.
On that note, Once When I Was Cool podcast at gmail.com. Thanks very much, Wee. We will catch you next time. Next time? Net time. Netflix time. Don't use that name.
And also no scammers. No scammers on here. Don't send any scamming.
Cool. All right, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.